Our first reading this morning comes from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under his feet, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all.
Thanks. Well, good day, everyone. Oh, thank you, a few people. That's nice. I'm Dave. I'm a pastor at Trinity Church Campbelltown. But it's a real treat to be back here. So Modbury Church family is very special to me and my family. Me and Maddie, we used to go here. And then I did a ministry apprenticeship at Campbelltown too. So I know a lot of you guys from back then, what Ben's doing now, doing a map. And it's very special to be back. And I'm excited to work through this passage with you too. It's a great passage. Well, who is Jesus to you? This is a question we were asking people in the lead up to our series. And a few weeks ago, I was catching up with someone, and so I caught an Uber there and back. And so on the Uber drives, I asked the drivers the question, who is Jesus to you? And their answers were, I found really interesting. One of the drivers, he was a Sikh, and he said Jesus was that guy from the Bible. He wasn't real though, he's just a story from the Bible. The other driver, though, he had a Christian background. And when I asked him this question, He said all the typical things you'd expect of someone who's a Christian, you know, like Jesus is the Son of God, all those kind of things. But when he started telling me about his life, it was clear that Jesus didn't make much difference. He was more busy with things like building his house and his career. Now, these two guys had a very different view of Jesus, but I reckon the bottom line was pretty similar. Jesus is nothing. For both the Sikh and the guy claimed to be a Christian, Jesus didn't really make any difference to their life. What do you think about that? Is that true? The bit of the Bible that we're looking at today, which you heard just before, it makes a big deal of saying this. If Jesus did come back from the dead, if he rose again, then this reality should turn your life upside down. If you believe Jesus rose from the dead, then the headline for your life should be this: Jesus is everything. Or Jesus changes everything. Because Jesus then has significance for every single part of your life, both for now and for eternity. So is Jesus nothing, or is he everything? That's what we're going to explore today together. And to help us do this, we're going to look at that second reading we heard before, a passage from 1 Corinthians 15. This was a letter written by a guy named Paul. He was one of the apostles, and he's writing to a church, a group of Christians in a place called Corinth. It's about 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And the first thing that Paul tells these people in Corinth is that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then Jesus is irrelevant, but it's worse than that. If Jesus didn't rise, then Christianity is a big hoax. As we dive into this passage together, keep your Bibles open if you have them, or listen carefully. It's worth noting some of the people that Paul's writing to, they were promoting a particular idea. I haven't used a clicker in a while, so sorry if there's a bit of a delay on that. There we go. There was a particular idea that these guys were putting forward. They were saying those who believed in Jesus, they're not going to rise from the dead on the last day. Christians die, and like everyone else, that's it, game over. That's one of the views that people were holding at the time. But Paul says to them, this makes no sense. This is what he says in verse 12. But if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? And then in the following verse, in verse 13, he explains why this particular view is so problematic. He says this: if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. You see, essential to the Christian view, essential to the Christian faith, is that Jesus died and he rose again 3 days later. But if there's no resurrection, then Christianity, it unravels really quickly. I was on an online group chat recently, and this question was posted on the thread. It said this: if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, would you still be a Christian? One person said this: yes, I would, because his teachings alone are enough to warrant following. And another person said this: it'd be a nice bonus if Jesus rose from the dead, but it's not crucial to my faith. I'd still be a Christian. Now, these answers, they might sound reasonable and balanced, but actually, today we're seeing it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. As Paul says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Paul almost sounds a little bit harsh here, doesn't he? You know, if Jesus hasn't risen, it's a waste of space. Move on. But that's how important the resurrection is to the Christian faith. During his time on earth, Jesus said to people, I'm going to go to the cross and die for sins. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. And the whole Christian faith is grounded on these things really happening. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's two alternatives. He's either crazy or he's a con man, but either way, he's not trustworthy. And if that's the case and you put your faith in him, then it's a waste of life. As Paul says in verse 19 of Christians, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're of all people to be most pitied. I remember back, I was in Modbury at the time actually, and I decided to do the apprenticeship here. And I was telling some of my peers, my friends, legal friends, and their response was really interesting. They were really happy for me. And I found it strange because these were guys who I'd had conversations with. I knew they didn't believe Jesus rose from the dead. And here I was going in a whole new course, ditching the legal profession to tell people about Jesus. It was strange to me. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they shouldn't admire my gullibility, doing something I believe in, even if it's not true. They should feel sorry for me. Because no one should waste their life on a lie. Has anyone here seen the Truman Show? Hands up if you have. Okay, there's a few people, that's good. All right, so Jim Carrey, he plays Truman. Now, Jim Carrey, he grew up in this kind of picturesque world. He had loving parents. He had a great wife and friends, a good career. But over time, his world began to unravel bit by bit. The people around him, they seemed a bit strange. They kept repeating the same lines and the same routines over and over again. At one point, his son just kind of spontaneously fell from the sky. That was strange too. And eventually, he comes to realize the truth. He was born into a reality television show, and he was the main character. His whole life had been a lie. Now, when he finds out that his life has been a lie, what do you reckon he does? He decides, oh, well, life's pretty good here, isn't it? I've got a good career. I like my wife and friends. Sure, they're all actors, but you know, it doesn't matter. Let's just move on. He doesn't do that, does he? If you've seen the film. Instead, he pushes through every obstacle. He sails over these violent seas, even though he has a phobia of water. He does everything he can to bust out of that world. Until eventually, he hits a wall, literally. His boat, it kind of hits the edge of the set, and he finds a door, and he walks through it. Truman does everything he can to bust out of that fake world in order to embrace reality. Now, just for a moment, I want to chat to people who have been Christians, grown up in Christian families. If this is you, you need to wrestle with the resurrection of Jesus. Doesn't matter if you have loving parents, good mates at youth, you go to great camps, you think Jesus' teaching are good for life. In the end, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then Christianity is a lie. And if your life is built on that, then you need to bust out of that world. And if you're someone who's looking into Jesus, but you haven't yet figured it out, you can save some time. Look at the resurrection. And if you decide Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you can move on. Because in the end, Christianity means nothing. But can I also ask you, what would convince you that Jesus rose from the dead? What would convince you that that actually happened? Coming back to our passage, we see that for Paul, the one writing the letter, he became totally convinced that Jesus beat death once and for all. In verse 20, Paul says this emphatically. He says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. It almost seems a bit like an overstatement, right? Like, how can Paul be so confident of this fact? To understand this, we need to know just a little bit more about Paul's life. He was someone who used to be as anti-Christian as they come. He spent his life attacking people who followed Jesus. But he had an experience that turned his life upside down. He went from hating Jesus and persecuting people who did follow Jesus to becoming a follower of Jesus, who eventually lost his life to tell people about him. What happened in Paul's life that brought about that dramatic transformation? Well, it was the same experience that transformed a whole bunch of Jesus' closest friends and disciples. They were people who went from doubting Jesus, and when Jesus got arrested and crucified, they abandoned Jesus because they didn't think he was going to rise from the dead. They went from that to, like Paul, being people who gave up their lives to tell people about Jesus. What happened to them? It's the same experience that converted James into a believer. And I find this incredible. Think about this for a moment. Who here has siblings? Hands up if you do. Okay, there's plenty. Okay, so you might get this. So James was a brother of Jesus. Mary was their mum. And before Jesus was killed, James was like the other disciples. He doubted Jesus' claim he was the saviour of the world. And I don't blame him. I mean, can you imagine a sibling saying they're the saviour of the world? I've got a sibling here, Kate, who I don't know if she's here today, but it would take me a lot to be persuaded she's the saviour of the world. I'm sure I would for your siblings too. It's just, yeah, it's incredible. But James went, like Paul, like the disciples, James went from being a doubter. He didn't think Jesus was the saviour of the world, to being someone who risked their lives to tell people about Jesus. So what happened to all of them? What happened in their life? They all met the risen Jesus. And it turned their lives totally upside down. Now, if you do look into the resurrection and you conclude what they did and what so many people did since, that Jesus really did rise from the dead, there's also an important follow-up question. So what? You know, what does it matter? It's clearly an amazing event. People don't rise from the dead each day. But what does it mean? You know, is believing in Jesus rose? Is it a bit like going to a footy match at Adelaide Oval? You know, you cheer, you boo. Either your team wins or it doesn't. But in the end, the event doesn't make any difference to your life. Jordan Peterson, he's a Canadian psychologist, and he's a media commentator. And he has an interview with another guy. And this guy, he's a bit infuriated with Jordan Peterson because a lot of people are asking Jordan Peterson, does he think Jesus rose from the dead? And in this interview, Jordan Peterson, he says, yeah, chances are I think Jesus did. You know, if you put a camera there at the tomb on the third day, you would have seen Jesus come out of that tomb. And so this interviewer, he says, well, why don't you just say that you believe Jesus rose from the dead? And he says, because I have no idea what it means. It's incredible, isn't it, to believe someone probably rose from the dead, but ignore it because they have no idea what it means. But today, Paul says that not only has Jesus definitely risen from the dead because he's seen him, but also it makes the world a difference. And this is what we're going to explore for the rest of our time together, what difference Jesus makes. And what we're seeing is that if Jesus did rise, then it changes everything. Firstly, if Jesus did rise, it means we can be forgiven by God. As Paul says in verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Recently, a friend of mine, he told me he still regrets a person that he bullied in high school. He told me, I hope that this person's moved on from that. And it struck me decades later, he still feels that guilt and shame from that moment. And I wonder, do you identify with that feeling? We all have things from our past we regret and still hold on to. Things we should have done but didn't. Things we did do but wish we hadn't. And those twisted desires and thoughts in our hearts. These are the things that drive a wedge between us and other people and ultimately in our relationship with God. But what can you actually do about it? You know, How can you deal with your mistakes? You could go see a therapist and try and get it sorted. You could try and be a nicer person in the future to make up for it. You could try and suppress it and just not think about it anymore. Or like my friend, you could have that wishful thought, maybe things will sort themselves out. Ultimately, none of these things work, though, if you've tried them. Instead, like sponges in a bucket of liquid, over time, we just fill up with more reasons for shame, and we get more weighed down because we have no way of really dealing with our mistakes. And what's more, the Bible teaches us because God, who made this world, is loving and he is just, there's a final day where he'll hold everyone to account for these mistakes. But that's the difference the resurrection makes. It shows us that while we can't do anything to deal with these mistakes, God has done something. Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection, it's like a package deal. On the cross, Jesus died for our sins. He dealt with them once and for all. And the resurrection, it's like God's stamp of approval that he really did do it. Jesus really did deal with our sins once for all. He really did take the punishment we deserve for our sins. And if you trust in Jesus, it means he takes that sponge that is your life, and it's like he totally rinses it out entirely. God forgives you everything so you can come back into a loving relationship with him. If Jesus rose, it means we can be forgiven by God. And secondly, it means we have real hope into eternity. As the saying goes, there are two things guaranteed in life: death and
taxes.
Thanks. Okay. Yep. It is a common saying after all. Okay. But in reality, you can dodge taxes, right? People do it all the time. You can't dodge death. And it's what the Bible, it's what the Bible refers to as the curse of Adam. In the beginning, God made us. He made people to be in loving relationship with him, with each other, with this world. And because God is the source of all life, as long as we were in relationship with him, we'd live. We'd continue to live. But ever since Adam, the first man, all humanity has rebelled against God, cut ourselves off from God. And from that time on, there's been one common pathway for people: life, death, and then God's final judgment for our sins. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, nothing's changed. It's business as usual. No forgiveness now, no hope in the future. All of us, we're on this lifeless path. And as Paul says in verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. But if Jesus has risen, then not only are we forgiven now, but there's more. We have a wonderful and sure hope. Because just as Adam, he's the champion of death, Jesus is the champion of life. As Paul says in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Without the resurrection, we follow that lifeless pathway: sin, death, judgment. It's the way of suffering. It's the way of the world. But with the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus unlocks a new pathway for us, a new future for us. He's the trailblazer for life. He shows us what life can really be. As he's described in our passage, Jesus is the first fruits. Take a look at verse 20 if you have it open. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does it mean that Christ in his resurrection is the first fruits? Imagine you're a farmer and you're looking over your orchard in the early days of spring and you see it. You see that first juicy apple of the season. And you can't wipe a smile off your face because you know what this means. You know a bumper crop is coming. Jesus' resurrection, it's like that first fruit. He is the first one out of the grave. But his resurrection, it's a signal to the world. There's a bumper crop coming. There's a whole bunch of risen people to come. And this is the hope we have in Jesus. All who trust in him will rise to new life just like him. We'll have bodies that will never we'll have bodies that will never creak or break, just like him. We'll be in loving relationship with God and his people in a new creation that will never be touched by sin and death again, just like him. Some things in life, they make no difference to the world. You know, Neil Armstrong, he was the first man to walk on the moon in 1969. I believe it happened. I don't know if it made much difference to my life. Maybe it did. Maybe some of you can correct me. But it's not the same with Jesus' resurrection. If Jesus did rise, it changes everything. It's where we find forgiveness and real hope. It's how we find loving and lasting relationship with God. And the decision to trust in him, it has significance for every part of your life, now and into eternity. So I want to ask, what do you think about the resurrection of Jesus? Does it make any difference to your life? I was recently away on a mission trip in Roxby Downs. There's a whole bunch of people here who came along. We took the youth away, and they ran a whole bunch of programs to help people come to know Jesus. And one of the things we did was a week-long kids program. It was exciting time. We had 30 kids come along, hear about Jesus. It was awesome. If you want to know more, ask one of the Roxby team who came from here. On the last day of the program, parents were invited to come along and check out what the kids had been doing for the week. And I had these two conversations with two different parents. And they were saying how their kids had just been telling them stuff about Jesus all week, kind of harassing them. You know, "Dad, did you know that God made you?" And these people aren't Christians, so they're like, "Oh, this is, it's a bit confronting." So anyway, they were talking to me about this. And so I asked these two parents, "Would you be interested in looking into Jesus too?" The first man, he seemed a little bit interested, but he also said he had other priorities in his life at the moment. He was working on his career, renovating his home, those kind of things. And maybe that's your story here today. You know, there are other priorities in your life. And so, do you want to look into Jesus? The answer is, not yet. And if that's you, can I ask you to reconsider? Because these, I hope you're hearing today, these claims about Jesus, they're too important to put off. There's too much at stake. We talked before about the Truman Show and how if it turns out Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Christians are the ones living this lie and they need to bust out of that world and embrace reality. But the opposite is true too. If Jesus did really rise from the dead, then people who don't know him are living a lie. And the only way you're going to find life, real life, is to come to know Jesus. If you do want to look into Jesus further, you want to check out the resurrection and see if it really happened, a good starting point could be to pick up a gospel. We've got Luke's gospel up the back. It's a gift from us to you. Take one on your way out and meet Jesus for yourself. Luke's gospel looks at Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It's a historical account of what happened. Or you could pick up a book that looks into the historical evidence for the resurrection and the difference it makes. One book I can recommend is Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. He does it really helpfully. Whatever it is, don't put it off. Because if Jesus did rise, it's such good news for us today. And you don't want to miss it. Do you want to look into Jesus? Maybe you have a different answer. Maybe your answer is, "I don't need to. I already believe he rose from the dead." And that's awesome if you do. But maybe your life also looks like that Uber driver I mentioned before. You know, you say you're a Christian, but it actually makes no difference to the way you live. If that's you, can I say something's not quite right? Because if Jesus did rise, then that news should change everything. And if you're trusting in that reality, if you're embracing this truth, it should have implications for every part of your life, your aspirations and your hopes, the things you say yes to, the things you say no to. The resurrection of Jesus makes a difference. And if you say Jesus rose, but your life looks the same as everyone else around you, can I ask you just to look into it again and consider what it means? Well, coming back to the holiday program, we talked about the first dad's response. Maybe your response is more like the second parent. I asked her, do you want to look into Jesus? And she looked up at me and she said, I really do. Now, the holiday program is about to start, so I didn't have time to chat to her properly, so I gave her a gospel, and she chatted to another Christian parent there. But I could take a guess what brought her to that point. Maybe it was like the other dad we met who, you know, she'd invested in her career and building the house, but come to realize that that didn't satisfy her deepest needs. Or maybe she was like another woman we met during the week, who grew up an atheist. For them, life was found in their family. But when her marriage blew up, that world, that dream collapsed. So she turned to alcohol to numb the pain. Or maybe it was like another man we met during the week. He was adopted and he grew up just wanting to belong, but always feeling like he was forgotten and like nobody cared for him. All these people, that they were hungry for more, and they tried to satisfy their longings in a whole bunch of things in this world, which just never could. But those last three stories I mentioned, they've all got something in common. For them, their search is over, because they all met Jesus, and he's at the center of their life. And Jesus actually satisfies their deepest longings in a way that no other person or thing can. They know they're forgiven and loved by God now. They know they have the future with him, a hope of eternity with him. Do you want to look into Jesus? My hope and prayer today is that your answer is, I really do. And if that's you, we'd love to help you do this. Please talk to me. Please talk to one of the pastors here, like Mark, or a Christian friend, you know. We'd love to help you get to know Jesus and the difference he makes. Please come along to our life course coming up. It's going to be advertised in just a moment, but that's 4 weeks where you get to come along, ask your questions about Jesus, and have a great night too. And please pick up a gospel on your way out. Please pick up a Luke's gospel and meet Jesus for yourself. Jesus is risen. And it changes everything. Should we pray together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, that in him we can be forgiven, loved, and restored to you now with a new and wonderful hope. Thank you that all this has been made possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. No matter where we're up to today in our walk with Jesus, please help us to more deeply grasp the difference that the resurrection makes, that it might shape every part of our life for the better, both now and into eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.